A few weeks ago here on Current State, we told you about something brand new in Michigan, social impact bonds. They're part of a budding effort to solve public problems using private investor capital. Now, social impact bonds are really part of a larger landscape that links government and the private sector, namely public-private partnerships. As government revenue has plunged in recent years, public-private partnerships, or P3s as they're called, have emerged as a way to finance infrastructure and other initiatives. Today, Current State takes a look at the role public-private partnerships might play in Michigan, as well as some potential pitfalls. Rex Lamore is the director of Michigan State University's Center for Community and Economic Development. We welcome him to Current State.
Good morning, Mark.
Hi, Rex. Good to see you. Since they're still fairly new, let's revisit what a P3 is, in simple terms at least. Can you frame that for us?
Well, they are different in each context, depending on the nature of the issue that they're trying to address. Public-private partnerships have had some longer track record, particularly in economic development, business development, job creation strategies, where the public sector has principally provided capital or public infrastructure, sewer, waters, and roads to support business development and business growth. And they've done that through the creation of, I guess you would call them vehicles, organizations that represent public-private partnerships, quasi-government private organizations that help capitalize and facilitate specific activities. But they range across a whole number of activities, not just economic development, but they're also active in a whole – housing is an area that we've seen public-private partnerships over the last few years where they've supported primarily affordable housing. But it's usually a combination of public-private engagement where there is some public interest that is being pursued, but there is some private interest that either expertise, technical assistance, or resources that are valuable to the accomplishment of that goal.
And Michigan just became the eighth U.S. state or municipality to actually form an Office of Public-Private Partnerships. So we're at something of a, I won't say the cutting edge necessarily, but we're on the leading edge of this trend of founding an office. What is changing here? Is this a result of just dwindling public revenue?
I think two aspects are changing. One is the growth of the number of them and the complexity of them and the desire for greater accountability and transparency in terms of what those public-private partnerships are doing, particularly when they're using public resources. And then the other aspect of it is just the opportunity to build more where there are gaps, unmet needs. And I think that is in response to some of the reduced revenues that are available from what historically have been public sector activities. Now you're seeing private sector opportunities emerge, and then there's still public engagement in it. So there's growth, and there's the desire to monitor and improve the efficiency of the existing ones that are out there.
What are the criteria for a P3? How do municipalities, private enterprises know if a project is best served by forming a P3?
Excellent question. Unfortunately, I don't believe that answer exists, and this is certainly an area that I think research institutions might give attention to. I think we're not really clear on the where are public-private partnerships more effective than clearly a private sector initiative or a public sector initiative. They tend to fill gaps where needs are currently not being met, so they evolve out of unmet need. But is this the most effective way to do it? And it varies again from activity to activity. If you think of charter schools as a public-private partnership, which of course they are because there's public funding of a private school, then are they a more effective tool than funding public schools? And some of the research is somewhat debated. It's debatable on that. In economic development, would it be more efficient to just directly provide the service through a public institution, or does a public-private partnership more effectively and efficiently provide that technical or financial capital. So the field is not that mature yet where we're able to say with any certainty that a public-private partnership is the best vehicle to address this particular unmet need at this time.
Sounds like unexplored territory lay ahead here.
Well, a little more – I'd say it's more groping. I mean, we have unmet needs that people are asking for a response to, and here's a way to respond. And it brings together key partners, both the public and the private sector, which most problems require and solutions, I should say, most solutions require. And so we go to a public-private partnership as a way to address it. Then as that project matures and produces output, then the question of is it the most efficient or effective way to address it presents itself and can then be further analyzed.
Is the city of Lansing's arrangement with Jackson National Life an example of a P3?
Correct. It is, of course. And, you know, through organizations like LEAP, which is clearly a public-private partnership, they made capital or they made infrastructure investments available to extend that sewer and water infrastructure to the southern tier in the Lansing region. They've also made investments in that downtown redevelopment that Jackson National was involved in. And that's actually a good example of the kind of thing that is desired in an economic development public-private partnership where you're trying to bring job creation or business formation or building renovation, claiming an old brownfield, the old abandoned border water and light facility, bringing it back into useful productive use in the region. Public-private partnerships have historically sort of jumped into that venue.
Is there anything that looks like a minus to that deal, or is it too early to say?
I don't think that deal has had enough time to show empirical evidence that would suggest plus or minuses, but I think in the context of economic development activities where we've seen public-private partnerships, there are questions that have been raised in terms of particularly in terms of monitoring the desired public outcome. Presumably the public investment, and we're talking financial as well as technical and capital, real investment, you know, are we getting the desired public output, which is principally improved tax base or job creation or renovation where there may have been abandonment. And so that monitoring, particularly in the area of job creation, is one that has had some challenges over the years. Are we getting good investment in terms of job creation from that public investment in these public-private partnerships?
Does this mean that there are new challenges ahead? Assuming P3s expand and we start doing more of them, does that mean greater oversight responsibilities on the part of municipalities and public governments?
I think that's a reasonable observation, that the probability, because the public sector is feeling a constraint on its resources, it's going to be more prudent in its investment of those resources. So we're going to want to there will be pressure to make sure that we're getting the maximum return on that public investment in that public-private partnership. So I think there will be increasing pressure to ensure that this is the most efficient use of public taxpayers' resources. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a reasonable observation.
There are examples of publicly funded initiatives that have failed. Are there examples of public-private initiatives that have failed?
Oh, I should probably have one of those on my cuff for you right now, but let me think for just a moment. I think that we've certainly felt in some situations, and I'll reach back a little bit into the Pole Town experience that perhaps some of your listeners may remember. This is a neighborhood in Detroit where the state of Michigan, in partnership with General Motors, pursued a public-private partnership as a way of bringing a new GM plant into the city, cleared out a neighborhood, Pole Town, in Detroit, And as a result, the desire was several thousand new jobs within the auto manufacturing sector. However, that was never realized. And so that was certainly one that I think many people felt didn't meet its objective and was one that there was quite a bit of public resistance to because the Paul Town neighborhood was seen as a strong and vibrant neighborhood in Detroit. And so I think that's one that historically we look back on and say, let's not do that again. And so I think that would be one that would be an example where we've seen, you know, what most people I think would call a failure.
Well, does the momentum behind P3s here in Michigan, does it give you pause? Are you more optimistic than pessimistic? I mean, are you expecting P3s to play a – are you anticipating P3s to play a much bigger role as governments move forward with infrastructure and other initiatives?
I think that – the likelihood is that in the near future we will ask public-private partnerships to play more substantial roles in providing needed goods and services and job creation in our society, partly because of the reduction in public resources, partly because of the expertise that resides in the private sector. And so I think, again, we're groping for solutions to serious problems, and this is a vehicle that is worthy of some consideration and, in particular situations, certainly one that could show some positive outcomes. So I think the prospects for the future is we're going to see more of them. But on the same side, I think we're likely to see greater public accountability for these. I think we're not going to see the days of loose resources in these kinds of activities. I think we'll expect greater monitoring and greater performance. And there are some states in the United States that have applied performance measures to public-private partnership that include if you do not achieve your objectives, you're going to see there's going to be what they call a clawback, a reduction in public investment, and in some cases, where they might expect some payback of that public investment because the objectives were not met in the proposed action that was pursued. So I think, yes, we're likely to see more of them. I think, yes, we're likely to see more monitoring. We'll probably see more successes. We'll probably see more failures. Hopefully, we'll see more successes than failures.
We have been talking public-private partnerships in Michigan with Rex Lamore. Rex is director of Michigan State University's Center for Community and Economic Development. Rex, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you, Mark.